you got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. That's the National Campus and Community Radio Associations across British Columbia and, of course, across Canada. This is the Community Living Show. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Across from me is Michael Rubin.
Good morning, Kelly.
Yeah. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Frigid morning.
Yeah. Very cold morning too.
Yeah. Well, at least we're not in Saskatchewan at minus 40. So.
Well, no. Of course not. All right. So you have some guests along today.
Yeah, I have Michael Leland and William Pickett, and they're with Benners. And to answer the question about what the Benners Project is, the Benners Project is a group of waste pickers aided by support staff dedicated to improving economic opportunities and reducing the stigma they face with informal recyclable collectors.
Yes.
Wow.
we're actually the Benners Project.
Yeah.
So it's we're starting into our third year here now. Mm-hmm. And so far it's been very successful. We've done quite well. The organization is growing, and we're hoping to take on the same events this year as we did last year, and it's been very successful. We're doing really well.
So what are some of the events that you did last year that we could look forward
last
to?
Last year we did Kitsilano Days. We did the P&E. Several events locally around the East End and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the big ones were the P&E and Kitsilano.
Wow.
Days, yeah.
So what exactly, okay, we're talking about recyclable.
Well, the P&E was more educational. We help people, direct them to the right bins to use, and it started to explain what Vancouver's shaping up for 2020 for the totally green. So we're trying to tell people and their lack of knowledge on what can be recycled they're a little skeptical about that. They even have trouble with the juice carton. So it's
well, and that's a big one that actually lands in the garbage instead of in the recycle, because people don't realize.
Yeah, they don't realize.
And
yeah,
like that
and you know, and the number of people that don't even know that they're paying a fee at the store for their recyclables. You know, you're a dime out. Go get your dime back.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I'm kind of guilty of it myself sometimes. My wife gets after me. It's like,
oh, yeah.
No, we can, you know, take that back.
It's and the confusion, I can see it. You know, the kids are taught kind of more in the schools, and the kids were busy telling their parents at the P&E, Mom, this goes in here, Dad, that goes in there. Mm-hmm. You know, so the kids are very well aware. So I believe Vancouver is on track to meet their 2020 goal.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So do you guys work with the city itself?
I'm a staff member with the Benners Project.
Uh-huh.
And Bill's one of our members. It's a recycler. And I also, I do the Yacht Club every Monday, which is one of the bigger ones. And it's going okay.
So, Bill, what do you exactly do as a recycler?
As a recycler, I walk around and look for redeemable items, like what we have on our card and in our introduction package to, mm-hmm. to show what it is definition of a binner being a person that diverts recyclable materials and other materials of value from the landfill. So it's just it cuts down on waste too that
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. It's, but like I just started with the Binner's Project 4 months ago, so already, you know, I'm really enjoying it. You know?
Yeah. So what do you exactly do day to day?
Day to day, I just go out on my routes and just walk around, pick up empties and.
Oh, okay. That's pretty.
Sometimes I'll see some clothes that are in good shape and get them washed and bring it down to Lord's Rain, which is a shower facility downtown. So.
Cool. Well, and where's the facility downtown?
Well, I actually personally, I used to have been over in Kitsilano. I would walk from the east end to Kitsilano before I even started the route that I used to do. So, you know, there's lots involved. The guys that are out on a route work hard, and this time of year it gets really miserable and slows down. You know, you're out in the summer and you're thinking, gee, I'm making $100 a day, and then you get down to the $10 a week sort of thing, you know, now. It's a big change, so, but
and this
May's
kind of
coming.
And
yeah, it's just the weather. Yeah, we're very weather dependent. You know, I mean, bottles are out all the time. People are very good about that, and people bag things up. And we also have our Binner's Hook that people can pick up and hang their bottles out with the Binner's Project logo and stuff on it. You know that. That helps the guys out, but that's for all Binners. That's not for the Binner's Project. That's for everybody to participate in.
Right.
Yeah.
So overall, you're trying to make sure that
we're just trying to promote recycling, get people thinking about the 2020 goal that Vancouver has set, and I think with some nudging and persuasion that they're going to have no problem making that.
Just so everybody knows, what is the Vancouver's goal for recycling?
Well, they want to be green by 2020, and the actual goals, what they've set, there's all kinds of criteria that involves gas consumption and stuff like that. You know, they've got a long way to go. However, the actual recycling of your bottles, we're going to help take care of that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to picture what that goal is. Is there like a number figure to that goal?
Well, I don't know about personally. I don't know about the numbers. I just know that their goal to reduce the waste that goes into the landfill is to drop it right down. All buildings and everybody now, you're not allowed to throw your food away and stuff like that. You know, so there's some big changes coming that people are going to have to pay attention to.
I know across the Lower Mainland that. We have, like, our compost bucket.
Yeah, you got your new buckets.
And we got the recycle bucket. And then we have what would just
your five blue bins and, you know, I mean.
And then the general waste sort of stuff.
Absolutely. And what it is, too, for the guys that are out on the routes, the lock bins have made things very, very difficult, you know, for us to get in and sort through it. So, you know, we're getting very dependent on what people leave out for the binners where they bag up their bottles and leave them beside the bin. That helps immensely.
Yeah. So, okay, you guys collect all this and you take it to, like, a recycling depot. And where does the fees go that you guys collect? What do you guys do with that?
Well,
how does that help our community?
Actually, what we're doing right now is we're trying to become self-supporting, where we're not dependent on grants and stuff like that to keep it going. But there's our money comes out of the bottles. That we collect.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I get paid, yeah.
Okay. All right, fair enough. That makes sense.
Yes. Yeah,
it's like, because that was one of my next questions is, like, do you guys get any kind of government subsidies?
Yeah, we get help from the City of Vancouver. We get a grant here and there. But as time goes on, we've got to find a way to become more self-sufficient to look after that.
Mm-hmm. Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, nobody wants to give us dollars forever. Right, like, go do it yourself, boys.
Yeah, exactly, right. You know, even charities and everything, eventually they were like, well, we got to let you off the hook. and you guys got to go find
go do it yourself. Absolutely. We're really working hard on growing, and you know, we're dependent on some of the grants to keep the upper staff connected and stuff like that. However, our goal is to what we take out of the recycling is what we're going to live on.
Right. Cool. So yeah. That's pretty good. I make being self-sufficient and not just depending on
I believe we're at about 55,000 units or cans that we've taken in this year. So, you know, it's getting up there.
You mean just from the 1st of January till now?
Yes.
That's quite a bit.
That's from the Binner's Project account. That's nothing to do with what the Binners themselves pick up and bring in.
Nothing to do with the Binners. That's just our Binner's project that has done that. And we've got computer records of that. I can show you.
So how
I know
many Binners do you actually have out on the streets right now?
About 22.
That are members of the Binner's Project. There's probably... That times 220 or something like that, Binners all together, and that's another thing we're doing right now is trying to reach out to other Binners too.
We're trying to expand and to get people more interested. I know this doesn't do the audience any good, but that's a picture of one of my loads from the yacht club for one morning.
Taken by Polaroid.
Yeah, it's like that's pretty cool. I haven't seen a Polaroid in a long time, but. You're on a bicycle.
Yes, bike and trailer.
We
are completely compliant. We have no emissions for everything picked up.
It looks like a baby trailer or something like
that. It's been revamped. I've built onto it and built it over and put an extension on so I can get more on, but...
But it's completely piled up.
that particular pitcher is about $120 a beer can. So that's
$120
over 1,200 beer cans. Yeah,
that's a lot of beer cans. Wow.
Yeah, the gang at the yacht club are busy guys. Bless their hearts.
There you go. I know that. I'll tell you this. One of the projects I did where we walked across British Columbia, one of the ways that we got gas money was actually collecting the water bottles.
Yeah.
And soda bottles from alongside the road. I'm glad to say that I didn't see too many beer bottles or beer cans. Yeah. I'm glad to see because
it's on the road. That means somebody's drinking on the road. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad to say. I think the message is getting around about the drinking and driving part, but we got all the way to Canmore and back again
on your water bottles. Outstanding. You know, and people don't like to admit it, but the number of people I see just walking down the city streets that are picking up cans would amaze you. You know, people that are dressed really nice and sometimes in suits, you know, and they go, I just can't leave that there. And good for them. It's all relative, you know.
Well, it helps keep the...
Absolutely.
The city, the province clean, right?
I don't want to look at garbage all over the street. We sure don't. And the city is making it more and more convenient. They're coming up with new processes. And in the west end of Vancouver now, they've got like... four garbage cans, you know, with labeled choices so that things are starting to go where they belong. And I think that's one of the most important things that we're trying to keep people aware of, that there are different spots for different things.
Yeah. Yeah, I know for me it gets a little bit confusing.
I'm the same. I'm terrible at home, you know. It's kind of, nobody's going to see this, but we've got to start paying attention to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the less we landfill, the
absolutely
the better, more we can reuse it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We collect all this. So I know the bottles, they What do they do? Do you know what they do with the bottles?
I've heard everything from making chairs and mats to, you know, the plastic bottles that are recycled get made into hundreds of different items. You know,
okay.
It's chopped up. You know, one of my arguments for years has been to get the milk products included. You know, and that's been excluded in British Columbia, and I think it's wrong.
The milk products,
milk cartons, like the milk jugs. You get nothing for a milk jug, so
really,
yeah. And to me, why they're paying 20 cents for a juice thing and nothing for the milk, to me is just crap. You should pay for everything that you're using.
Yeah, that was, I would have to agree with you on that one. I didn't realize that we weren't getting anything for the milk jugs.
Yeah, my personal belief is I think the dairy boards, you know, got a little bit to do with it, where they're saying they don't want the price to go up, but the consumer is going to have to pick up that 20 cents on the 1 gallon milk jugs.
I was going to ask a question about maybe some coffee, you know, holders, you know, one of those ones.
We do a coffee cup revolution every year, mm-hmm. where we give binners an opportunity, and that's paid out of our own pocket. And this year we bought 47,000 coffee cups off binners that went around and picked them up, mm-hmm. and we have approached it and worked on it, and we're not very popular with Starbucks now.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of coffee cups out there. That's
absolutely
sure.
There. Yeah. I would say they're probably the biggest litter point in Vancouver that you can, there's not a block that you can walk on and not find an empty coffee cup.
Yeah. I had to say this, that I'm guilty of going to Starbucks, buying coffee, whatever.
And I'm right behind you. I'm the guy in the line going, hurry up.
You know, yeah. You know, as an area, it's like, how many people is like, how many times do we have a meeting at the Starbucks, and how many times is like it's
well
they, as far as like the, you know, the fancy coffee thing, we're the town.
Marketplace came and did a study, and Starbucks and Tim Hortons told them, get out, we're not even going to talk to you guys. And they proved them wrong. A lady walked in and said, can you assure me that this cup is recycled? And she put it into a bin marked recycling. And they put a little tag in it. And that night they went back and found that everything that was in their recycling was put into the landfill garbage. Mm. So they lied.
Well, that's cool.
tricks of the politics of it. But they somewhere along the line, I personally believe if you're paying $3 for a cup of coffee, you can come up with an extra nickel to get rid of the cup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody can make sure,
you know, and
make sure
I
the
hate
cup
putting
gets to the right
all,
place.
You know, it's really hard to put it all on the consumer. However, if you're making the mess, you can pay to clean it up. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Yeah. And Kelly, you're giving me a signal.
Yeah, of course, I had to move the mic. So, yeah. All right, so you tune in to Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We're on both stations, flagship stations, Vancouver, Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, and, of course, we're on the full-hour show, CITR 101.9 FM. Yeah, so we will be back in just a few moments here. Stay tuned. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Oh, And welcome back. We're here at CITR on the Community Living Show on the National Campus Radio NCRA Networks. Mm-hmm. And we're speaking with Michael Leland and
William Pitt.
And William Pitt, and they're both with the Benners Project. So I know there's always a story about how a project or a business gets started. So do you guys want to tell it? Tell a little bit about that story?
Yeah, we started with the very first coffee cup revolution. We kind of spawned off of that, which was 3 years ago. And Ken Neoche, who originally owned the old depot that was down on Hastings and started kind of all the binning in Vancouver end of it, Anna Godfrey came in and said, I think we can do something for these guys, because we had a really hard time. People were a little bit harder on binners, and, you know, you were that creepy guy in the alley that was digging through your garbage, and nobody wanted anything to do. And what she wanted to do is show that we weren't that evil guy that was going to rob your groceries out of your car and, you know, stuff like that. And she tried to bring a better light to what binners were doing and show that we could contribute, and they've done a fantastic job with that.
Yeah. Because it sounds like a necessary thing, you know?
You know what? you can do whatever you want, but you're not going to get rid of binners, ever, period. Mm-hmm. No matter what you stomp out, there's still going to be a guy in your alley looking for the bottle, because our economy has pushed it to the point where when you run out of everything, it's necessary.
Right.
I got started in binning. A doctor told me I had to lose weight. I was 260 pounds.
Wow.
And just by walking and bending over, picking up empties, going up and down hills in the parks, I lost 55 pounds in the first just over a year. So. And now I've maintained my weight, so right now I'm right around the 195. So,
good for you.
So it's been a beneficial in more ways than one for me. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It's you're doing something good for the community and
For my health.
And did something health great benefits. For your health.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see very many fat binners out there. That's for
no,
sure.
No, we're pretty lean and mean.
Well, That picture of you, I imagine, what did you say, how many beer cans that was?
That was about 1,200 beer cans.
How, it's like, that's got to start to weigh something, and you're pulling with a bike trailer.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. Champagne bottles are the heaviest. For whatever reason, they're thicker, heavier.
Yeah.
But the one day we got a call, and a lady had a, I don't know, there was a couple of hundred bottles sitting on her living room floor in the living room, and she needed somebody to take them out. So I got 170 wine bottles on one trip, but that was heavy. We're talking probably 350, 400 pounds, you know.
Wow. And you pulled them away with your bicycle.
Yes, I did. I took it to the depot. I made two trips. And Bill got that yesterday. He went and did a pickup of glass pop bottles on the Burnaby border.
Yeah, 396 pop bottles from a place. And when this pickup first come up, it was the saying was it was 7 blocks from the depot. So okay, yeah, no problem, right? It was 7 blocks from Kootenay Loop, and no bus I can get on to for that, because I'm going from Gilmore to along Hastings, and it was only the express bus that's coming along Hastings.
Yeah.
So I had to lug empties that way. So I still have to finish that pickup tomorrow. So I couldn't get it finished in one day. It was just too much.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. it's a good thing that you guys are out there to come and grab that sort of stuff.
You know, and the appreciation that people get, they don't realize that all they've got to do is make a phone call, and we will be there. We do that all over the city.
Well, we'll make sure you get that phone number.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And definitely this one pickup I'm doing right now is probably going to entail 5 or 6 hours. before I'm done the pickup, and it's a $20 pickup. So it doesn't matter. Don't worry about my pickup's not big enough to bother these guys with, as long as you've got a little bit of empties, right, that are taking the area. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. So no pickup too small, no pickup too large.
You know, and we were just going over that on our meeting the other night, that what we've got to make the guys understand is that at this time of year, things fluctuate and things are way down. You know, when you look at the yacht club that goes from $100 a week down to $10 a week, so you figure out the percentage on the drop.
It's going to pick up over the summer. Absolutely. People are going to be there.
Starting in mid-April on, you know, it goes from there.
But I imagine there was probably, what about Christmas time? There's probably some things that peaked out over that time, right?
Excuse me. We get a little boost around Christmas and New Year's, and then everything just tapers off. Even the yacht club, I went from $8.90 the 1 week to $35 the next week, and now I'm back to $8.90. So it's, you know, it varies.
Quickly, before we take a break, for our listeners for Co-op Radio, how do they get a hold of you guys?
Oh, hang on. I've got my personal card. I'll leave you guys one here too.
Okay.
And then for anybody out there,
anybody,
They can go to binnersproject.org.
Okay.
And you can see our website and all the contact information, and you can punch it right into the computer, and we will be there. That's for sure.
All right. So that was the interview of Binner's Project. Thank you very much for listening to us, for those people who are listening to us on Co-op Radio, CFR 100.5 FM. And for those listening to us on the full hour show, we will be back for station ID and stuff. So we will be right back in a moment. All right, you're tuning into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We're on our full-hour show. We are live broadcast of our original show, so that's what we do every Thursday from 9 to 10 o'clock, as always. So I'll pass it over to Michael now.
Okay, and we're still here with Michael and Bill. They're both Benners, and I think we're up to the crazy story. Some of the craziest things that you've had to pick up. You shared about the 1,200 beer bottles and everything. You shared about that. And Bill, you were telling us that it's going to take you 2 days to finish picking up.
This
pop bottles.
This pickup from a old-fashioned soda fountain in Burnaby, and the mistake I made was taking a Hastings Street bus up there to start with. I should have taken on the 95 B-line, but I wasn't sure exactly where it was, and then I walked up from Kootenai Loop, but then walking back, not only was that, but these pop bottles have a very sharp, pointy neck. So they do a lot of damage to bags, too. By the time I made it to the bottom of the hill and I was on Victoria Drive getting off the bus, I noticed a great big hole in the bag. So I had to rebag as I'm walking. So, you know, I say it's pretty hard to do when you're holding 80 pounds of glass to rebag one of the bags, right? So it was a bit of a challenge, but I got it down there anyway and didn't lose any bottles, so... That was only 120. I still got 276 to do. So now what it's going to mean is I'm going to get a shopping cart and I'm going to end up hoofing it all the way up there. So that's the reason why a long time for this. But you know that the thing is when you're bidding, you never know what you're going to make anyway. Sometimes you might be out there for 2-3 hours and get a dollar. You know. So. It's just, yeah, you know, we take the good times with the bad, so yeah. The bad times with the good, I should say.
So there's a lot of love to labor too.
Oh yeah, definitely. So. And the thing is to me, it's not so much the money that I got into it. I'm on disability. I do okay. I'm able to get by, but the health issues. You know, I had two heart attacks sandwiching my 50th birthday. So, and that's almost 10 years now that I haven't.
Wow.
Had any really major health problems. So that's pretty good. So
you're getting a lot of exercise doing what you're doing, keeping yourself healthy and all.
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah. So that's amazing that you're doing this after two heart attacks.
Yeah.
And wow, that's just amazing. Amazing bit there. I'm really impressed with that. So what's one of the craziest pickups you had, Michael?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll tell you what. The lady with the 180 bottles in her living room was a little different. And they were stacked up all neat and rows, so she'd had herself quite a little get-go there. I don't know
quite
how long it took her.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it took her to get there, but it took me the better part of an afternoon to get him out of there. I think, you know, one of the best surprises you can get is when you're unsuspecting, and when I used to be in North Van was a lot different as for what you get, items that people throw out just never ceases to amaze me. My apartment is completely furnished in recycled goods. I have not bought one. I bought my set of dishes, and that's all I bought in my apartment, and my apartment is furnished very well. So,
wow.
Right down to the flat screen TV.
Somebody threw away, just laid it out there on the
just
street.
Just laid it out there and put a little sign, it works, and take it. So I did, and it works. It's been working great for me for 3 years now. So,
wow, that's amazing.
Oh, you know, there's really, and Bill can attest to this too, there's nothing, when you set out to find something, you are going to find it. I can almost guarantee that.
Actually, you sound like an inspirational coach on that one.
and no coaching necessary. If I could tell everybody to leave the stuff alone for me, I would. But
yeah.
Whatever people want to go out and do is fantastic. And I think that was one of the lures for me on binning, and I've been at it for 14 years now. You know, I've beaten Bill by one heart attack. I've had three, and spent a substantial amount of time in the hospital with that, and it's also helped me get better and refocus.
Yeah. So focus your energy on something.
Absolutely. Something better than taking your pills.
There's a lot of stresses out there, right?
Oh, kill you. Kill you dead.
You know, so this is something that you guys actually love to do.
You know what? It became, after my heart attacks and I left the workforce, it became one of the few focuses that I had control of, where I could do it if I wanted to do it that day, and if I couldn't and didn't want to, I didn't. And that's the beauty of binning.
Yeah,
there's days you just... You know you can't make it out. You know, you don't feel very good, or you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's the thing. You can always take that time off.
Yeah, that's something in the workforce that I remember from the workforce. actually, I've been a professional photographer for almost 11 years now, haven't had to report to a boss in 11 years. I was told I had high blood pressure and stuff. I was like, oh wait.
Well, I'll tell you what, when they tell you that, pay attention, because
yeah.
I ignored them and I had my first heart attack when I was 39. So it's
I evaded the heart attack. So.
Yeah, yeah, but hang in there. You'll make it. And I can't stress the exercise enough. It's made mm-hmm. such yeah. a difference. When I started riding my bike and trailer down to the yacht club, I hated it. I still don't like it, but it's not a problem anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's still those odd things that you know, it's, hey, I know I got to do it. But so
there's
just
always
get it
that
done.
Glitch that's, oh,
yeah,
darn.
You know. But you're right, though. It's like with, you can't in the workforce is like you got to keep pushing to the point that your health fails mm-hmm. with when it's something that our society just keeps pushing us towards.
Well,
and when you can do something that you can, it's like, okay, you know what? I need to break and take that break. Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah. And then there's that self discipline that's involved that says, look, I got to go out and do it today. And you kind mm-hmm. of push yourself out and you do it. And when you're done, you feel great. You do. You
yeah.
feel
actually,
really
as
good.
Soon as you get outside and start doing it, you start
feel better. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there's, you would say there's a difference between saying, you know what, I know it's my body's just not going to let me do it today, and in between being that and saying, I just... full of excuses.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
Excuses don't work.
Right.
You can lie to yourself all you want. The bottom line is at the end of the day, when you've got nothing left, you've got nothing to eat, and you know you could have gone out and made your 10 or 20, you go, darn.
Yeah, there you go. And I think I'm getting another signal from Kelly.
Oh. Yes, we'll be back in a moment. You're tuning in to Community Living Show. You can email us, communityliving.radio@gmail.com, for other suggestions just like this one. All right, we'll be back. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
We're back here on Community Living Radio. You're listening to us live here on CITR and on the NCRA networks. And we're still here with Michael and Bill, the Benners, with the Benners Project. So we were talking about some really crazy pickups. And so how has the whole project turned how people see you guys actually out there benning?
I think being able to do pieces like today, our media exposure has been fantastic, and we've been treated very well, you know, and the exposure that we got at the P&E was immense. You know, people could come out and say, that's the guy from the alley, and they could ask what they wanted and get a better understanding of what a binner was up against. And I think one of the most important things I try to tell people, whatever you think of a binner, they are very hardworking people. They're out putting miles on that you wouldn't believe. I used to personally walk from East Van over here to Kitsilano before I even started, and then I would walk 20 miles a day and then go back to East Van to sell my bottles at the end of the day. So, you know, there's a lot of effort put into
yeah.
it. Yeah. And that could be anywhere from $10 to $20, you know. Anybody making, you know, that wants to run and tell you they're making $100 a day, they're full of crap. That does not happen, and I don't care who you are mm-hmm. or what you want to say. You've got something very specific. You know, like I have my yacht club pickup, but I don't include that in my daily binning. That's a specific pickup. You know, a guy just wandering around the alleys is lucky to make $30 a day.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it. They may look like they got a huge cart full, but at a nickel a can, it's not that great.
Well,
It's all relative,
yeah.
You know, as to what you put together.
Yeah.
However, you know, occasionally you find a milk jug, a glass Avalon jug, that's a dollar there, you know. So you pick up two or three of those, you know. It all adds together.
Yeah. I could think of other jobs where for $30 a day, you know,
people roll their nose up at it. $30, are you an idiot? Well, not really. However, the necessity has forced it, you know, and that's where Binning got marginalized. It was the people on the low end of the scale that couldn't find work or had addiction problems and stuff like that. I mean, there's still lots of that goes on, and I'm not here to promote Binning. What we're here to do is catch the people that have fallen through the crack and try to get them in the right direction.
Yeah. And if your project can help them do that,
absolutely,
that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's the reason for wanting to promote your project.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
We've had exposure all over the world now. They did a piece on us in Britain, you know, big article in the newspaper, and interviews for Al Jazeera and stuff like that, you know. It's and a piece they put on Al Jazeera that went worldwide.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're beginning to notice us, and Vancouver has always been kind of a little hub for Binning because our weather permits us to go year-round. You know, places like Calgary, at 50 below, you're not going to be out wandering around looking for a bottle.
Yeah, we were talking about the difference between, you know, making up excuses and having legitimate reasons for not going out, right?
And well, I'll tell you
minus
what,
50 is a legitimate reason.
They've got a legitimate reason from me, absolutely.
Yeah. I lived in Calgary for a little while, and I tell the story as more of a joke than anything else, but there's some truth to it. At minus 50, I went to go grab a couple logs to throw in the fireplace, and I had to put on 3 pairs of pants, 5 shirts.
Just to go get the wire to warm yourself.
Yeah. And even still, because you're breathing in the cold air, you only lasted like a... It's not like I was going to bring in a whole big load of wood.
I was only
going to grab a couple logs and run back in again because it starts to get into your lungs and it's hard to breathe.
I agree. Years ago, I used to drive truck for Halliburton out of Fort St. John for the oil industry, and the coldest I've ever been in was 52 below out on the Muskeg between Fort St. John and Fort Nelson, and it was blowing 30 miles an hour. And
you can't
even breathe that in, like you
no.
say,
yeah.
or you actually hurt your lungs. I could feel it, you know.
Yeah, you feel that your lungs starting
to
breathe.
Yeah, it just feels like there's glass cutting your lungs when it gets
like
cold.
So, but that would be a serious limitation to Binning.
Even now, the guys for the alleys, it's really tough because when you look in the alleys up around here, I mean, down where we live in the East End, there's nothing down there at all. But when you start seeing the ruts and the stuff in the alleys from the snow frozen in there right now, it's been a tough few weeks for the guys, for sure.
Yeah.
When you bend down to try to pick up that can and it's frozen in the ice.
That's strong.
So ice isn't your friend.
No, sir. There's enough ways to fall down without the ice.
Speaking about funny stories out there with that, there was a situation the other day where we had the frozen rain one night and then after the freezing rain, it went down to minus 7. So it was that all of a sudden it was like slush that was on the ground, and then that stuff froze, and it was like glass, walking on glass. And they had to close the area off because one guy walking in his Adidas, the ice had cut through his shoe and ripped his foot apart. And he was walking down the street and just leaving blood trail. So,
ouch.
So it gets pretty tough in some situations. So they close that whole area of the park out.
Mm-hmm. So when it gets to a certain point with the weather, it's like you say, Vancouver, it's pretty easy going on the weather conditions. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other hindrances besides the is there anything else besides the weather?
Well, people just aren't, you're not having that icy cold Coke on a day like now.
No. Or that beer.
And even the beer slows down a little bit. Yeah. It really, we have charts now from our computer records that show the decrease, and it starts by mid-September. It drops right off to a line about that thick. You know, but all I got to do is think about May, and everything's good again.
What about the coffee cups?
Well, we're going to, hopefully the city of Vancouver is talking about where they want to have three or four more small events where we set up where they're collecting people's electronic recycling, and we've set up mini coffee cup revolutions there, and we buy coffee
call
cups.
Call it coffee cup pop-up.
Coffee cup pop-ups, and what we do is we let all the bidding community know, and we did one over on Larch, which was, you know, a long way out of the way, but we still collected, you know, a couple.
And that day it was raining so hard, I thought you guys were floating away. You and Bertha were working the tent when I showed up there.
Yeah.
You just said something, electronics. Do you guys do electronics too?
No, sir, I don't. It's first off, there's no money in electronics to get paid for.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not going to go pack somebody's TV around for nothing. Yeah. You know, it's all relative where people got to actually make a plan. And that's why the city is now doing little pop-up depots around town, and they send out the notices, and you can bring in your old TV and mm-hmm. stuff there. It's incredible what gets thrown out there.
Well, you know, we're surrounded by all these electronics. It's like there's a lot of things that you don't want to be landfilled in an piece of electronics. You want to recover
Absolutely.
It and then use it again. Like in your cell phone, there's like maybe half an ounce of gold in your cell phone soldering.
Yeah.
And it's some of the things that people don't know is there.
And I do know of guys that go out and look for computer guts and stuff like that that are going to pick the gold out. And I just say good luck with that, guys. I don't have the time
to face it. It's a little timely process to recover it, but it's something that some things that should be recovered. And maybe if we mention it loud enough on radio, that hey. They'll make a market for it to happen.
And I will say this. Regional recycling is incredibly efficient with what they take. You can take everything from your old TV to your old dishwasher in there, and they'll deal with it. And there's no fee to drop it off in that, and it's better than just piling it all up in the alleys because the garbage trucks don't even pick them up. That stuff sits out there for weeks and months.
Right.
Yeah, the only time in the alley where it's of any use is somebody comes along and they decide it looks like it's worth plugging in and seeing if it'll work, right?
So. Yeah.
And that's another little secret with binning. I've got all my little outdoor plug-ins that I can try things out over here so I don't have to take them all the way back to East Van. So if it doesn't flare up when I plug it in, I leave it.
Yeah. So... It sounds like you guys have a lot of fun. You have little bit of trials with, people's attitudes. But you're saying that's turning around.
It's turned around 100%. You know, from when I first started, it's altogether different. Yeah.
Yeah, and some trials with the weather. It's like I hope your friend with the. They cut his foot with it on the ice, and he's doing better.
I hope so too. I don't know the person. I just, you know, I was there when they were shutting it down. And actually, when he was walking by, he was lucky. He was walking by an ambulance, and they seen him and hold it. Yeah, we gotta take care of your foot, right? So they got to him right away, right after he cut his foot. So that's good. When it goes towards attitude with people, I had a little old lady the other day come up to me and says, "Oh, you're one of them people. You're one of them people. I seen something on something. She had seen a little clip on something, and she goes, "Here, let me buy you something to eat." So into Tim Hortons we went for
it. She bought me a rabbit. It's all relative, yeah, it is.
You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Even a coffee once in a while makes all the difference in the world. It helps a lot to, you know, when somebody says, "Hey, I'd like to buy a coffee." That's terrific, you know.
So, there's a lot of jobs out there that people... We shouldn't thumb our nose at any job that's getting done and getting done well, right?
Mm-hmm. And the same with the garbage guy. You know, for years it's the damn garbage man, but that's not the case. That's a guy making a good living, doing what he can do to support his family, and that's all it takes.
Yeah. I know my garbage guy. I leave a tip out for him every Christmas.
There you go. Yeah, it's all relative.
Yeah. So, do you guys have any plans for expanding any further in the Lower Mainland?
What we're doing right now is we've got a push, and we're trying to work our way over into Kitsilano and include more binners where they get the opportunities. Lots of the guys, at the end of the day, don't want to go over to East Van and then come back over after they've gone to a 1 hour meeting. So we're trying to grow out a little bit and get more members and help out more people.
Well, good. Good. So, and what's the website again?
Binnersproject.org.
Binnersproject.org. And how are we doing for time there, Kelly?
Yeah, about a couple of more minutes.
Okay. So.
So just say thank you and everybody.
So, well, thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you very much for having us. Yeah, every little piece that we can do that we get somebody's ear, and if we've changed somebody's mind today or helped them out or anything we can do for you, let us know. We'll be there.
Awesome. So you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
So.
All right. So on that note, thank you very much for tuning in to the Community Living Show. I said it again. All right. Thank you, guys. If you want to email us, you can. CommunityLivingRadio@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at CLiving Radio. We're also on Facebook, Community Living Radio Show. Right now, we've got about 237 members on Facebook. So join us if you want to listen to our show. And, of course, stay tuned for upcoming shows, including All Access Pass. If you're in this UBC area, in the CITR area, they have a show called All Access Pass, CITR Accessibility Collective News Show. They talk about equity, inclusion and accessibility for people with diverse programs, diverse abilities. Check them out Thursdays from 2 to 2:30. And, of course, Wednesdays from 1 to 2 on Co-op Radio is Soapbox Radio, a show on people on disabilities. And, of course, they air every Wednesday from 1 to 2 on Co-op Radio. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will be back again next week, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.